Janelle, where are you and what have you been doing in Xenogears?
So I just got to Shavat, and it's a pretty cool, sprawling town, and it's really big. I've been exploring it, but it seems like every time I go in a room, I find a new elevator, which will lead to 3 more rooms, which will lead to 2 more elevators.
Shavat is about probably my second favorite town in the game. Second after, is it Bledovic or Bledvik? I can't remember how to spell it.
Yeah, whatever. I can't remember either, but...
But it looks like about an average-sized town, but then, like you said, there's an elevator, and that elevator goes to a place with 3 doors. Oh, so you check out all of those respective areas, you go back up the elevator, walk 5 feet, and it's like, oh, here's a winding staircase that goes up somewhere, but halfway up, there's a doorway, and right next to it is an elevator. And that elevator goes to more doorways and elevators. It's like, there's a lot more than meets the eye.
Yeah, I haven't even gone to the palace area yet, whatever that's going to be like. I've just been exploring the normal town part with the houses, and one of the last places I explored was about halfway up a tower. It was a dark room with a jukebox and a guy.
And we talked about this a minute ago, and I'm a huge dork for psychology, and I love seeing little bits of it come out in the way players react to certain things. And I asked you about the bar. I forget the name of the bar, actually. Do you remember the name of it?
It's Super Deep Sea Brothers?
The Deep Sea Brothers, yeah.
Something like that.
Are you thinking of Super Mario Brothers and combining it with Deep Sea Brothers?
No, I was...
Is it actually Super Deep Sea Brothers?
I feel like it is because I was surprised as well. I was like, Super Mario Brothers? No. Anyway, name isn't
very Squaresoft
important,
did help out with Super Mario RPG, so maybe...
There have been a few pop culture references so far, but...
But anyways,
I don't think that the name is that important.
So, a few minutes ago, I asked you, what was my first question? I actually can't remember the order in which I asked the questions.
I think you asked if I found the room where you could turn off the lights.
Uh-huh. And I said, yeah, did you turn off the lights? And you said... Yeah, the guy told me I could turn off the lights and nothing happened. And that struck me as an interesting analysis of the situation. And I said, did you talk to the guy behind the bar? And you said, yeah, he talked about birds. And it was this, like, I'm not trying to sound offensive or arrogant or pretentious here. You sounded 15. You're like, yeah, he talked about birds.
Yeah.
But no.
I know that's kind of an oversimplification of what he actually said. But at the time, I was just kind of describing what was going on. But it didn't really affect me that profoundly. Even though, as I react on those text boxes, yeah, they contain some cool stuff. But...
It's just funny because it's all people see what they want to see in some cases, and it's kind of like the inkblot test. It's so famous and so used because there's a practical application for it. You saw what was your analysis of that scene in general? That scene or that place or
honestly what I saw was basically more philosophical stuff. That's cool, I guess. Where's that darkness stone?
So me, on the other hand, that is my favorite part of the whole 70 something hour game. My favorite part of the game, right there.
Just that small room, that small...
That little tavern in Shavat. is my favorite part of Xenogears because I am me, I guess. I don't expect it to be everyone's favorite part. I don't expect it to be as remembered as some other things. Like, when you walk up to another RPG fan, someone else who plays a lot of RPGs, especially Japanese ones, and you make a reference to the Honeybee Inn, they're going to know what you're talking about most of the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll take some people a second, but, oh, yeah, the Honeybee Inn, right, of course. But if you talk about, hey, that place in Shivat where you turn off the lights, I don't expect my opinion to be popular on this particular topic, but it hit me in a way. How am I trying to say this here? It hit me very strongly. Should I go on, or did you have something to add? Or
no, keep going. Finish explaining.
I put a quote actually on the RPG Land Twitter page. He talks about the birds, whereas he talked about birds. I saw a beautiful piece of, I don't know what, speech, I guess. He said, I'm trying to get this as close as possible, but it will probably end up as being a paraphrase. He said, look at these birds. They've forgotten how to fly. Years and years of evolution has, oh, I forget the rest, caused them to, basically, he says, caused them to forget how to fly. And he says, we humans are the same. We tossed aside our broken wings and forgot how to fly. But I doubt it will end like this. We'll remember the sky again someday. And that, I don't know, it hit me with a lot of impact. And then I turned off the lights and hit the jukebox and just zoned. And I don't know, maybe it was because for a few medical conditions, I have to take some steroids and those mess with me emotionally. So I found in that nice little piece of the story something very similar to what I need in life. And it actually reminded me a lot of my favorite parts of an MMORPG, which are simple exploration and just enjoying the environment. Those are two key aspects of an MMO for me. And it was very similar in that regard. Nothing was happening, and I knew I wasn't going to move the story forward. There was really no game objective for me to be there. It was a human objective. I was in that room, just rotating the camera now and then, walking over here, walking over there, sometimes just putting it down, actually putting the controller down and just laying back and thinking, yeah, that's pretty much the deal. And that's why it hit me with some impact, and I will remember that moment of Xenogears as long as I will remember any moment of the game, save maybe the beginning, because I've seen the beginning more times than any other part.
I think that's really wonderful. I mean, that you were able to extract meaning from that scene. Not that I'm saying that there isn't meaning and you just dug it up, but yeah, there is meaning. Let me explain what angle I was coming from.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lest anybody think me like this boorish, unphilosophical ditz, but what happened was I found that room absolutely last after I thought I had basically explored Shivat to its limit prior to going to the palace. And what happened was you have to go to this house to where Maria hangs out to advance the story and see Maria. But in there, after some scenes play out, you check in the house, and there's this doll on the table. And you find in the hands of the doll, there's this thing called the Dusk Stone. And I was like, whoa, because earlier I found an elevator that said, like, only those who possess the dawn and the dusk and the darkness can pass wise man. Like, wise man scrawled this note on this elevator. And so whereas before I was like, oh, well, I've basically been through Shivat, but now I find this stone and I'm like, well, years of playing RPGs has triggered me to believe there are two other stones to be found. And so then I was running through the town completely not even enjoying it atmospherically anymore, but looking for stones. And that's when I stumbled on this door that I had missed because of camera angles. You have to jump up some platforms, and I missed it the first time. And when I saw you could turn the lights off, I'm like, oh yeah, the darkness stone must be here.
I get it.
See, it's not that scene wasn't cool, but I had other things on my mind, and two, since I visited it absolutely last, I'd been through the other residents of Shivat talking about other types of philosophical and emotional things. One that actually affected me was in this room with a fountain, there's this lady, and she's talking to who I assume
that
her,
room. Yeah.
Her dead husband or something, and she's talking about, well, this is where we had our first date, and you wrote this poem, and I was surprised thinking that there were still people that romantic in this world. And then just the camera pans to the fountain, and it doesn't move away until you press X, but I let it sit for a long time.
Just, how beautiful is it that?
It was really wonderful, and that I really appreciated that. But after that, and the people talking about pacifism and war and... Shivat has more NPCs talking about philosophy and life than any other town. So
it's a scholarly town,
yeah,
isn't it?
So by the time I hit that room, it's like, oh, that's nice. I'm going to file that next to the 20 other things that I've already encountered in this town.
That's interesting. I found it somewhat early in Shivat. Because as soon as I found that, you gotta hop up a few steps.
Yeah.
It's that winding tower with the steps sticking out, but they're not all connected,
they're not
right?
All
you gotta
connected.
Jump.
You do have to jump.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I'm not gonna risk falling off more steps. I'm gonna take this doorway while I've got it. And I found it pretty early. Interesting.
Yeah, so...
Maybe
that,
that
might
had something to do
contribute.
With it, I don't know.
The fact that there was already so much philosophical content thrown at me already, the fact that I'd already been through the town once, and I was now just, like, on a huge item hunt that the game kind of artificially induced in me, probably reduced my expectations on that scene. Also, I picked a stupid song on the jukebox when and then talked to the guy. It was like... One of the jukebox has six songs, and five of them are kind of soft, and one of them's really upbeat, and the last one on the list is the upbeat one, and it was playing, so that probably didn't help either.
So you were...
I was probably in the worst frame of mind.
So you had the lights off, and he's like, these birds have forgotten how to fly after generations of evolution, and in the background was...
Or something, you know?
No, 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 no.
Yeah, bad music. Well, not bad music, but situationally inappropriate music was playing in the background. And, yeah, there just wasn't... I probably wasn't in the right frame of mind to see it the way you did. I read it. I didn't just, like, mash X through his speech. I read it, acknowledged the beauty of it, but then I moved on.
Interesting.
You know?
Which
is why when you asked me, so what did you think of that? I was like, well, he talked about birds.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I had the choir sounding one. I forget the name of it, but
they all have weird names. But I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it plays in a lot of like the churches,
cathedrals
and
stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think I had the the Yggdrizzle is preparing for war, let's go fight song playing.
Oh.
On the jukebox, simply because I went down the list in the jukebox and that was the very last song. And then you can't exactly turn it off, so I just had it playing while I explored the rest of the room. So that...
And leading up to Shuvat, as Xenogears veterans will remember...
Oh, no.
Not voluntarily, by the way, but they will remember in the same way you don't forget being in a prison camp in a war.
Is that
Babel
really,
Tower.
I don't know if that's a really good comparison, but that was pretty bad.
I'm not trying to downplay the effects of war. I'm just saying
it was
that
not,
Babel Tower is a form of torture.
I walked in and I saw a treasure chest and I tried to get it and I fell down into the water. And then it takes you to this area, and then trying to get back up where I was, I fell down probably 4 more times, and I was like, I've been in here for 2 minutes, and I hate this place already.
Yeah.
Boy, that was...
I had the same reaction as Brad Pitt in Snatch, when he's about to fight the big guy after the caravan discussion. They sold... Tommy and Gorgeous George, a bad trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So they're about to fight about it. And the fight hasn't technically begun, but George punches him in the face early, gets a sucker punch in. And Brad Pitt analyzes the situation and goes, so that's the kind of fight it's going to be. After I fell down about my second or third time in Babel Tower, I said... So that's the kind of dungeon it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it gets worse. Like, that first room is pretty tame compared to...
Yeah, once you get the hang of that first room. That crane got me, though. You, like, walk out on a crane, and then you get about halfway, and it falls down and dumps you into the water. I was like, ah, you know every player just the first time they walked on that got dumped down and had to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know they put that in there, and every player... responded the same way.
Yeah.
And then you're riding elevators, you're getting in and out of gears. I thought that was really cool. If there's one thing I like about the game a lot, it's that it has this great sense of scale. When you're in your gears, big enemies become regular sized, and then when you get out of your gear, you're just a speck on the screen. And
you're doing one damage.
Yeah, you're doing one damage to these giant enemies. I think the first time there was a gear dungeon, I was like, oh, hey, you can get out of your gears and walk. And the enemies aren't too bad. I'm going to do that. And you were like, no, don't. It was that underground desert cavern with the floating jellyfish. Good thing you caught me before I got in any battles, because I probably would have gotten absolutely destroyed. Not realizing, because in most games, size just isn't really a big deal. Like, you don't really notice if there's a big size difference, and we regularly see tiny RPG characters fighting huge things.
I was just gonna say, yeah, exactly. You see them. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm gonna get out of my gear, and I didn't realize that if you do that, the normal looking enemies are actually quite giant and will destroy you.
Yeah. How many final bosses are the same size as the members of your party in a JRPG?
Yeah, exactly. Can't really think of many, and the ones that I might be able to think of, it's because the technology didn't permit them to be the size of barns at the time.
If we're counting action RPGs, then there's been a few. I'm thinking maybe like some Yakuza games, because that's like, you know, it's just a dude. It's another dude.
Yeah, Nier also, if you're counting Nier, it was a regular size, basically you, but... He shot out a lot of large magic blasts, so the room was still well utilized.
And
in
Nier, there are other bosses
that are huge,
the size of a building.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, anyways, so the point is, I like Xenogears' sense of scale a lot, and the fact that it makes a difference whether you're in your gear or out. And I like that in this dungeon there was kind of play between grabbing your gears and going somewhere and then getting out and checking some rooms and things. It hasn't yet employed... Like, when you get out of your gear, and go into some of these only tiny people can go in here spaces, you don't get in any fights. So it'd be interesting to have a dungeon where you fight in your normal non-gear people form, and then you go grab your gear and you go fight some stuff, and then you go back, and I think that would be interesting. But anyways, and then you get in the elevator, and I don't mind the structure of Babel Tower up to that point, and then you fight Ramses.
Again.
Every time I fight that guy, I'm like, oh, really? Again? You?
He's that game's Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah.
You know he's never gonna finish you, but he keeps showing up.
Well, that one was actually pretty lucky, because the last two or three fights with him have been, you get in those fights with him and you're like, oh, I'm probably supposed to lose this. This is, I'm really outclassed here. And then you get the game over screen and you realize, oh, I was supposed to win that. Like that first one where you're solo with Bart and you have only Bart. I was like,
that was
okay, there's no way you're supposed to actually be able to do this. And I had just saved. And once you save in that save point in Marguerite's room, you can't leave. You're stuck there. So I was like, oh boy, I can't go level up. I have to manage this. The only way I did was spamming Wild Smile and getting one hit every 8 turns or something stupid. That, it was a tough fight. But anyways, that one on Babel Tower with Ramses wasn't bad, actually. That was the first Ramses battle that I didn't die in the first time. And so, but then after that, there's this platforming sequence.
Yeah.
That's a
even
headache.
Worse than the intro.
It's a headache because that room has probably the highest encounter rate in the game so far. I don't know why it's so high. And then whenever you have to jump on the elevators, every time you jump on an elevator, to activate it, you have to fight a fight.
Yeah.
And then halfway up, it kind of zones, like it switches to a new room. So if you fall down, you have to fight all the elevators in the first room and the second room again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
to say nothing of the arduous task of physically just getting back up there.
Yeah, I mean, the judging depth isn't very easy in Xenogears. It's clearly not built for real heavy-duty platforming, but they try to make you do a lot of jumping in that screen, and it's just
I think the jumping itself is all right.
It's not broken.
It's far from broken.
You can generally predict how and when you'll land if you hit the jump button, but sometimes you can get in a fight while you're jumping
and
while you're running.
That's what sucks. There's like a delay.
Yeah.
Like the game decides that you're gonna have a battle, but it's a second and a half later that it begins.
I noticed that in Babel Tower more than any other dungeon. The music cuts out when you're going to get into battle, but you can still move.
And you can hear, if you're playing on a PS1, you can hear the disc go, like you can hear the lens move. You can hear it go, and you're like, oh no! And then it's like somewhere between 1 and 2 seconds later, the screen shatters. So you're running towards a ledge, and as you get your final step near the end of the ledge, you hear, and there's no going back. You're screwed.
Yeah, you can't.
You're
hit
already
the jump button at that point, and then
you're in full stride.
As soon as the fight is finished, you fall down because
you fall straight down. Like
that happened to me in the very first dungeon when you're going up the mountain to Saitan's house.
Yeah,
I was trying to cross a broken bridge. And that happened, and
you
gotta jump, and just as I was about to jump, I got in a fight and fell all the way down.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it doesn't preserve your momentum.
So that's the kind of fight this is gonna be.
So that's the kind of fight it's gonna be. Yeah. Faye needs the Aperture Science gun. He needs portals to preserve his momentum.
Yeah.
Because the jumping in Xenogears when you get a battle does not.
Speaking of wacky physics, I actually fell down from the second floor. I fell down, but then I was banking hard to the left to try and land on some floors to break my fall so I wouldn't fall all the way to the bottom. And I managed it. I got onto some floors, but then it's like the game decided, oh, if you fell down, you're obviously going all the way to the bottom. Because I landed on those floors and then promptly fell through the floor. It was a wacky glitch. So, like, I couldn't even fall halfway down. I had to fall all the way down because I landed on a ledge and then fell through the ledge.
That's so Dragon Ball Z. I will uppercut you through the ceiling and then the roof and then the apartment above us and, like, through the moon, and then, yeah.
Which is why later in that room, there's an area with a chest that they, I guess they forgot to apply floor texture to it. Because it's just black.
Yeah, you
black,
showed me that. It's just...
And I was scared to go get that chest. I was like, am I going to fall all the way down? Because it's just black. But that blackness you could stand on. So, I don't know. But then, after you got through that part, it wasn't... That was basically the end of the dungeon, and that wasn't too bad. But boy, I was grinding my teeth trying to get through that. I only really fell down a long distance one or two times, but that encounter rate stretched it out very, very long. So it took...
Yeah, it did.
It was a time investment. So, I admire the creative use of a lot of elements of the dungeon, but it's like if they had left the encounter rate but cut out some of the platforming, or cut the encounter rate and left the platforming, I could have taken it either way, but both was pretty bad in that last segment.
Yeah. Falling down and getting zoned is one thing. Falling down and getting zoned meaning that you have to fight all the elevator battles again. That was a kick in the crotch.
Yeah, that was annoying.
And it is a prime example of the JRPG theory. There are no towers that are not evil. All of them.
I'm really, yeah.
If there's a tower, it ain't no
picnic. Yeah, I always roll my eyes whenever
it's nothing
I see
good.
A tower.
It's either evil in purpose to the story, or it's one hell of a dungeon.
Actual real-life towers don't really exist except in the form of skyscrapers, but these medieval societies seem to build a lot of towers, or these, you know, ancient technology was lost and then buried civilizations seem to build a lot of towers.
I guess. All right.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm still enjoying the game. I like the, I got Billy in my party, and he's kind of dumb as a box of rocks, but, I'm liking his role in battle so far. He's got a speed-up buff that's very nice. And that whole segment was interesting, with Billy and Jesse and running around the ocean for a while.
Mm.
And that was cool. It was cool after having done the whole Kislev thing. As soon as that segment was over, though, I pretty much retired Rico. I just don't have any interest in using him right now.
I liked his power, but I didn't use Rico where you are because I didn't have his gear upgraded. I had some gear upgrades for other characters, but not him.
Yeah. And Ellie as well. I don't have any interest in using her. I can see how she might be useful in some situations, but give me a choice, and I'm probably going to pick some combination of Faye, Saitan, Billy, or Bart.
Yeah, my God Squad was Saitan and Bart is what I picked. I like Billy. He does good things. I found the damage levels between his guns just got inconsistent sometimes. And I didn't like having to think about it. I was like, no.
Yeah, worrying about ammo is kind of annoying. It's not actually a huge deal. You're not going to go through that many bullets in a dungeon, but it's still annoying that it's even a factor.
On foot, you might, if you actually fight all the battles. I went through one, I don't remember where it was, but I was getting really low in his the shotgun, whatever the shotgun one is.
Yeah, the strong attack.
I think it's square.
It's the shotgun is X.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That one. I was running out. So, anyway. But yeah, so there's...
You know, you're still enjoying it, still having a lot of fun with it every time I play it, even bad platforming sections notwithstanding. So, I'm having a great time with it. I'm looking forward to see what's coming.
All right, we'll talk more again sometime.
All right, great.